this morning from the subject, the God of my grief.
Yes.
The God of my grief.
Yes.
Everything that you're going through, understand that's God's stuff.
Yes.
Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Then, thank God, you had me to declare that in the next 72 hours we'll see a breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for the ups, the downs, the trials, the tribulations. We thank you for the obstacles and for the challenges. God, we're just going to praise you for the pain, praise you for the grief. We praise you, Lord, for the rejection, the disappointment. We praise you for the loneliness. Praise you, Lord, for our vices, for all of our habits, Lord. God, we just praise you for everything. If you created us, certainly, you can fix us. God, fashion us. In your image. In the name of Jesus. Have your way with me. Have your way with me. God, I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. Are you ready to receive this morning? I said, are you ready to receive this morning? Beautiful morning.
Yes.
Yes. Genesis chapter number 5, verses 1 through 5. The God of my grief. Quite often in life, when we look at people, we look at the things that are happening in life. It's so easy for us to blame others. We want to blame others for life, for what we perceive as being our failures. We want to blame others for where we are. We want to blame others for the mess that we find ourselves in. But what if, just a thought. What if what you're going through, there's no one to blame? And the reason that there's no one to blame is because what the enemy tried to do to you, God is shifting that thing for you. And so now that I understand that God is shifting the thing and he's working it out for me, it's not necessary that I'm angry with you as though you somehow have defeated me. As though what you did to me, you think, is somehow gonna hold me back. I thank God for people. But the truth of the matter is, you don't need somebody to fulfill what God has called you to do. If you're still waiting for somebody so you can do what God called you to do, child, you got a long wait. You may have other people to help you to get there, but I don't need you to jumpstart this party in my life. Because I understand to start God's party in my life, all I need is praise. I can get this thing started. Just give him some praise. When I'm going through something, just give him some praise. When everybody turned their back, just give him some praise. When I find myself crying in the midnight hour and don't know what I'm crying about, just give him some praise. this young man that is going through something. And I can only imagine as Joseph began to go through things, just as us. We wonder, God, where are you? I believe you, God. I believe in you. But since you and I, it's just us. We're just talking and nobody else is here. Can I say to you that sometime in my darkest hour, I don't see you? Now, I still believe you, God. I still have the faith. But it troubles me, God. Let me just talk to you. It troubles me when other folk are being blessed all around me. And I know that I'm giving my best, doing my best, worshiping you. And the person that you just blessed, do you know them? Because I do. Dad, I'm just talking to you. I just don't understand. I don't understand why I have a bump in my breast, but you just healed Sister Gloria from hers. Why I got to go through that? I go to church. She doesn't. I've been showing up every day to work, but I still got laid off. I don't understand that, God. I trust you. I believe you. But I don't understand that. Because the person that sits and does nothing all day, they just got a promotion. I'm just saying. I believe you. Now, are you really the God of my grief? You mean to tell me that you love the world so much that you'll give your only begotten son, but you won't give me a break in this situation? When everybody's looking and I'm embarrassed about it, and you know what folk is saying, and they lying and stabbing me in the back and calling me a failure, and my family don't even want me to come home for Thanksgiving, and I have nowhere to go for Christmas, but you say that you love me, but you still allow me to go through all of this. Am I talking to anybody here? Joseph. Joseph is a young man in which Joseph is the apple of his father's eye. Joseph's father loves him so much that he makes him a coat of many colors.
Yes, Lord.
I'm sure Joseph was excited, but not his brothers. The next time God does something in your life, and you tell somebody, because you're excited, stop. Look around and see who's praising with you.
That's right.
Everybody's not excited about your good news. Some of them rolling their eyes at you. Some of them say, Just stop. I know you're excited. Just stop. When you get a promotion.
Yes, Lord.
And you tell it. And see who's not praising with you.
My God.
Just stop. When God delivers you through something, tell somebody. See who's not praising with you. Just take it. Just stop. When God begins to move you, and all of a sudden you become free from the thing that used to hold you back, and now you know that there's a brighter day ahead, and you praising God. Just stop. See who's praising with you. Everybody's not praising God with you.
That's right.
Joseph's father makes him a coat of many colors. The coat of many colors is symbolic to his many talents, his many gifts. Okay?
Yes.
But sometimes your talents will get you tore up. Have you ever told someone how gifted you were?
Yeah.
And they persecuted you. When people see your talent, don't you think that they are as excited as you are?
Yeah.
And so Joseph has these brothers and they're not excited because they don't have a coat of many colors.
Uh-huh.
After all, Joseph, I've been here the longest. I'm the oldest. Before you were born, I was out here in this field. I was dealing with these animals. Who are you? Before you came to this church, I was already here. Now you sit down. Ain't no room in this church for you. I've been doing that for 2 years. I've been doing that for 5 years. That's my job. You know what? When it's your job, you should be doing it so well that folk are intimidated to come and try and get it. Because they see the anointing that is in your life. Because they know it's your job because you got an anointing to do your job. You don't have to tell them that's your job. You just got to show up. That's why God keep opening doors for you, because you get knocked down and you get right back up, because you talented like that, you gifted like that, you anointed like that, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against you, and the lie didn't take you out, and the divorce didn't take you out, and the sickness didn't take you out, and the drugs didn't take you out, and the backbiters didn't take you out, and unemployment didn't take you out, because I'm anointed for this season. Brothers, and his brothers looked at his talent. They wasn't excited about this young boy coming up, because when you're young, you don't know anything. And the Bible declares, out of the mouth of the babes,
what you say?
I'll have my perfect praise. Because they so silly, they don't know nothing but to tell the truth and to praise it. But you've been in church so long, you all cute, sanctified, and holy. You know when to clap your hands, you know when to dance, you know when to speak your tongue, but every now and then, you better allow the Holy Spirit to take over and make you look like a fool, because you got a dance, because you know what he just did for you, because you got a place, you know about your past. Says, come on, Joseph, let's go for a little walk. Let's just go for a little stroll. And there they are, they're walking. One brother looks at the other brother and says, did you bring the rope? Yeah, I got it. Did you bring a little blood? Yeah, I got that too. You got that shovel? Yeah. I got all of that. Watch this. There's some people that is plotting against you. You won't see the plot until you get there. Then all of a sudden when you get there, everything they need is there. They already got the rope. And you say, well, how did the rope end up on a street? Because it doesn't grow here. They got the shovel already set aside. They got everything they need. It just so happens to be in place. But don't you know that in spite of the trap that they have for you, that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper? As a matter of fact, the same ditch that you dug for me, I need for you to be careful, because you just might step in the same ditch. I just need for you to know that. I need for you to understand that I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Just because I haven't told you I know what you said and know what you did doesn't mean I don't know it. I'm just going to play just a long time with you. I know your game plan. I'm just gonna let you play. himself with his brother. Then all of a sudden they grab him and they sell him into slavery.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can you imagine looking at your siblings and saying, "You dug a ditch for me. I'm in the ditch. I'm tied up. I'm tangled up. I can't move right now. I can't step to the left because that requires $5. I can't move forward because that requires a car. I can't even go back because that requires a house. I'm just stuck where I am." Have you ever been somewhere and you just felt like you were just stuck? Everybody walking by you.
Yes.
Nobody see you just stuck.
All right now. Lord have mercy.
His brothers sell him into slavery. They sell him into slavery.
Oh, Jesus.
He goes from slavery and he ends up in prison.
Yes.
Now once he's in prison, he meets some people in prison.
Yes.
He goes to prison.
Come on now.
And meets some people.
Come on now.
Have you ever thought about your life and say, "I had a plan, but it didn't involve this"? Because I thought at 18 I'll be here. Certainly by 35 I'll be married and buying a house. Well, maybe about 55 I'll be retired. And you find yourself, what you thought would work out, God allowed the thing to be twisted. But he's the God of your grief. You cry, you grieving over something, but he is the God of it, which means that not only is he allowing it, he orchestrated the thing. You mean, God, you planned this? Yeah. Why? How? For how long? Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. He goes to prison and then he ends up getting out of prison because he was an ideal inmate. And because he's an ideal inmate, they let him out early. He goes to work in the king's house.
Yes, Lord.
I was in prison yesterday. I'm in the palace today. How many of you know it doesn't take God very long to move? Doesn't take God very long to turn something around? Doesn't take God very long to change some stuff in your life? He'll put you in prison today and give you a palace tomorrow. He'll give you capture today and give you a pure word tomorrow. He'll make you alone today and make you with many friends tomorrow. He'll make you unemployed today and own a company tomorrow. Won't God fix a thing in your life? He finds himself now in the palace. All is well in the palace. And you know, when things are going real well for you, you can always look for trouble to come. It looks like trouble waits for the wrong opportunity to come. When everything is right, everything is lined up, everything, the kids is acting right, the wife is acting right, the husband is acting right, the dog is even minding me this week, everything just going all right, and up come trouble. Didn't ask for it. Didn't go looking for it. Here it comes. Joseph finds himself in the palace. All he's doing in the palace is just cleaning up, taking care of his own business. And then here comes.
Here she come.
The wife.
Here she
come. The wife. Now, I saw you last week walking through here, but I thought you didn't know I was here. Therefore, you didn't have on any clothes. But you keep doing that every week. So I know that you got a plan. I'm going somewhere. And so one day, Joseph finds himself in a corner trying to take care of his business. And this broad come by and said, Joseph, can you lay with me? Everything that looks good, smells good, probably feels good, ain't good for you. Joseph says, now I can lay down with you, but that's just for a moment. What I'm doing for God is an eternal thing. I'm going to stick with God in spite of what you say, in spite of what you do. And Joseph said, listen, I love this job, but you can take that job and shove it. He says, I'm getting out of here. And Joseph said, I'm gone. He began to run. The bronze grabbed him by his coat and pulled. Joseph said, you can keep the coat, but I'm going to keep my salvation. I want my salvation. And so she goes and she tells Potiphar. She says, you know Joseph, the one you trust, the one you allowed to come in our house. He tried to rape me. And back to prison he goes. So Joseph says, I would imagine, I thought all of this was all over. What am I doing back in prison? Listen to me. I don't care where you are, your gift will make room.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can put me in the prison, in a crack house, in a liquor store. You can put me in a crazy house. You can do with me what you like. But my gift will make room for me. The Bible says that. I don't care who's trying to stop you, but your gift will make room for you. I don't care how many obstacles you have, your gift will make room for you. I don't care how many people come against you, your gift will make room for you. And when your gift make room for you, and every room has a door, you don't have to open the door. God will kick the door open for you, because God is excited about your breakthrough. He's excited about you breaking out. And then here you come. You've been in a bad place, but now your gift begins to make room for you. And God is saying, I didn't need for you to survive in prison. I put you in prison so that you can thrive in prison. See, everybody else was going down, and you went out of her. In prison, and he has his greatest connection. You trying to network? Don't call them. Just call them. See, because they don't look at where are you and what can I get in exchange. So if you nobody to them, they're not going to hook you up. I love daddy because daddy is all about the underdog. I love daddy because daddy likes to catch you when everybody else walked out. And daddy said, let me grace you in this season. Let me give you some mercy in this season. Let me open a door for you in this season. Let me make your enemies your footstool in this season. Let me turn this thing around for you in this season. Joseph, God says, don't survive. I want you to thrive. Listen. And he's still in prison the second time. God, I thought I was beyond that. How did that happen to me again? First time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. God, this is the second time. How can the shame be on me when I walked out of the house? It seems to me, God, that you would have blessed me for my faithfulness. You ever been there? Something didn't work out because you were trying to honor God. And for a moment, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to touch your neighbor. But for a moment, you say, I should have just went on and did the thing. I know y'all holy. Y'all don't think like that.
All right,
Y'all don't think like that. I'm just talking about my inner struggles right now. I should have just went on and took care of that a couple months ago. Here it comes again. I should have went on and just ended that relationship a couple months ago. Here she come again and cheated again. Same old stuff. Keep popping up. God, is it me? What are you saying? Why am I going through the same stuff over and over and over again? And God is saying, bring a purpose in your life. Every trip to the prison was not because Joseph did something bad. It's because Joseph needed to minister to someone that was there. See, sometimes if God want to take you downtown, he can take you straight downtown. If God wants to move you from college or from high school to your dreams, he can move you straight there. But sometimes he lets you stop at the crack house. Sometimes you stop at the gambling house. Sometimes you stop in the world. Oh no, I was saved since I was six. So? Maybe it's because you thought you were so saved that God allowed you to go there. Because if you think you're so saved, so righteous, God is saying, well, if I put you there, I don't have to worry about you backsliding. And so you said you were saved. Let me put you by what you used to like and see if you don't like it again. Or if you don't say, the devil is a lie. I'm not going back there again. The devil is a lie. I refuse that thing in the name of Jesus. The devil is a lie. You won't get me like that again. The devil is a lie. I'm walking out of this thing. The devil is a lie. I may be abused, but I'm coming out of this thing. The devil is a lie. I may be bound up, but I'm coming out of this thing. The devil is a lie. My credit may be bad, but I'm coming out of this thing. The devil is a lie. Listen to this. He find himself in prison the second time. Your talents not only make room for you, or your gift make room for you, but listen to this. Your talents cannot be contained. Your talents cannot be contained. One day Jesus was walking and he was going to Jairus' house. And when he was going to Jairus' house, a woman with an issue of blood interrupted. It was a delay, but it wasn't a denial. Somebody, some folk in your life may be delaying your blessings.
What you say? What would you say?
Get this. It's not even about you. It's not about arrogance or self-confidence or self-anything. It's about the anointing gift that I have. See, sometimes we need to shake that thing up. Oh, I'm just humbled and I just thank God for the opportunity. No, God, I was created for this thing. I'm bad. I'm bold. I can do this thing. In Jesus' name, I can do this. You may make me doubt something else, but God, I'm anointed for this thing. I can do this. If it makes some cakes, I can make those cakes. If it take care of a child, I can take care of that child. Whatever it is that you are anointed to do, you better believe that your talents cannot be contained. Can't nobody stop you. Can't nobody hold you. When God says, it's time to break out. You coming out of that thing. When God says it's time to get out, you coming out of that thing. Joseph found himself in prison the second time. He went from the prison that time to being the prime minister over a land and some people that did not like him, and he did not belong to them. When God favor you, all that other stuff you worried about, it doesn't even matter. God, I want to apply for that job, but it requires a college degree.
Baby, what? What? Hey! Hallelujah!
Let me tell you about favor. Because favor is never fair. Man says, I got to look at him and I got to weigh the scale. And I got to be careful because I don't want to discriminate against one over the other when this one is clearly more qualified. I thank God that my qualification is not on my resume, but my qualification is in my praise, is in my purpose, is in my worship. See, what you think I need, I really don't need. And what you think you need to do the job, you really don't need it. Because all you really need is Jesus. If I got Jesus, that's more than enough. And Joseph is saying, now I know where I've been, but don't hold that against me because I was in prison. Don't hold that against me because of where I've been. And you know the truth is, if Charles Hill were to tell you or show you who he was at 14, you'll look at him and say, is that the same Charles Hill at 14 that is now a deacon in the church? Is that the same you that used to be a hooker down the street? Is that the same you that used to take a man and you were taking dry and now you here in the church? Is that the same dude you who used to be a sugar daddy? Now you in here serving God? Are you the same man? What a wonderful change has come over me. Watch this in closing. Sometimes God will allow you to go through some stuff. In the process of you going through something, God will not remove the residue from you. Sometimes when you're going through something and you get to where you think you need to be, you still look like and smell like where you've been. And God is saying to you, I don't care about that. I don't care about your tattoos. I don't care about this. I don't care about the tint in your hair. I don't care if you got hair or you don't have hair. All I want to know is, do you have Jesus deep down in your soul? So he moves, he begins to walk, and he says, I'm going to take you somewhere, Joseph. And where I'm taking you, they're going to know your background. They're going to know you've been to prison, and they put you in prison. But now when you come out of that place, they're going to know that nobody brought you out but God. Listen to this. He'll leave the residue in your life because sometimes God wants the residue to stay because he's starting a revolution. A revolution. Revolution is about change. And you got to fight in a revolution. You got to go through something in a revolution. You got to stand on the devil's neck in a revolution. You got to say goodbye to some friends in a revolution. In a revolution, you got to put up the deuces. In a revolution, in a revolution, you got to sometime be willing to lay it all on the line. A revolution is never easy. A revolution is never easy. But it is to bring about a change. And so they move from residue to resolution. And now God says, now I'm going to redeem you. I know where I found you at, but I still want you. I know what you've been through. I know what you did last night. I know what you did last week. I know what you did last year. I know what you did last decade, but I still want you. The world may not want you, but I want you. I still got purpose for you. I want you. You may not look whatever like everybody else, but I still want you. You may not have what everybody else has, but I still want you. Cause I got purpose for you. He says from residue to revolution to redemption. He says now, he says I want to receive you back. I know you've been through hell, but I want to receive you back. Joseph, I know you've been separated from your family, but I want to receive you back. Now watch this. Joseph come face to face with the very folk that put him in that situation. And he come face to face with them. And they scared. Because now, Joseph is sitting in a place of authority. Watch this. The brothers come to Joseph, and Joseph knows who they are, but they don't know who he is. All of a sudden, he reveals himself to them. Can you imagine what they were thinking? Oh, Lord. Can you imagine? Just wet on your pants. Come face to face with the one that you lied on. Come face to face with the one that you turned your back on. Come face to face with the one that you rejected. And now they are in a position of authority. And you need what they got. What goes around comes around. Just wait on God. Joseph is face to face with his brother.
Thank you, Lord.
Watch this in close.
Thank you, Lord.
Joseph says, don't be angry. Don't be scared. I know what you mean. But what you meant for evil. You got to see Joseph in this. In a position of authority. He says, brother, what you meant for evil. I ain't mad with you. He says, God meant it for good. Sometimes come and we get here.
Yeah.
And we says, you know, what you meant for evil, but God, he meant it for good. He turned that thing around and he gonna get you. No. Watch this spirit of forgiveness. For good.
Yeah.
Because there's a famine in the land. So God had to go through all of that grief to get me ahead of you in a place so that when you needed food, I'm right there for you. From 10 years ago. But now you need 20 just to keep the lights on. God is saying, now I put yourself in this place. The one that you lied on, he got what you need. That's not enough. He's willing to give it. Forgiveness is power. Because they thought Joseph was going to do to them what they tried to do to them. Joseph says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. The God of my grief. He was in control. When I was crying, he was still in control. When I was alone, he was still in control. When I was screaming and saying, God, come on, he was still in control. Joseph says, you're my brother. I forgive you. You remember he asked the question, my father still alive? Is forgiveness still alive in your heart. Maybe you thought I was going somewhere else with this story. Maybe you thought this story was about Joseph getting revenge. Maybe you thought the story was about how God blessed Joseph and he's just now in a great position. No, 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 no. None of that stuff. I'm talking about forgiveness this morning. I'm talking about forgiveness. Forgive us as we forgive. In other words, God, you have permission not to forgive me.
Jesus.
If I don't forgive
you.
Because it's a ask. The same way that I do it. I want you to do it to me. The brothers didn't do anything to Joseph. They did something for Joseph. Stop being the victim. Nobody did anything to him. Stop being a pawn. Stop feeling weak. Stop feeling defeated. Nobody did anything. They did something for you. You ought to give God some praise. For the ones that stabbed you in the back. You ought to give God some praise. For the ones that walked out over you. You ought to give God some praise. For the ones that left you high and dry. Because they didn't hurt you. They didn't hurt you. The truth of the matter is, I never would have made it without your praise system. Because you kept me praying. I never would have made it. So thank you for your foolishness. Thank you for your craziness. So the next time you look at them, I want you to think about something. Everything they did to you, say to them, F you. I forgive you.